Great. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know if Ziva's here today, but thank you, Ziva, for asking me to speak. My name is Jennifer. I am a compulsive overeater, a food addict. I also have a host of body issues. I'm a body obsessor, body checker, body dysmorphic. And when I first came into the rooms, I said to my spouse, I don't have any body issues. So, yeah, I came into OA 13 years ago next month. And wow, what a journey it's been. And I am so grateful that I have the honor of continuing this program one day at a time. I'm also grateful that I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm grateful that I'm cross addicted. Because if I weren't, I would just be walking around this world, not being present, not caring about people. I'd be in my own world and I'd be selfish and just consumed with me. And I know that because when I was in my disease before I came into the rooms 13 years ago, I was exactly that. And growing up in school, I was also a bully. I'm embarrassed to admit that, but I'm just going to say it out loud. But you know what? I also need to remember to have compassion for myself. I grew up an only child. My mother was married multiple times. I was neglected. My basic needs were met physically. You know, I had a home, I had clothes, I had food, and I'm very grateful for that. But emotionally, I was not heard. My voice was taken away from me at a very early age. I was put in many unsafe situations, which make me cry when I think about them sometimes. And I wasn't given the love that I needed at at an early age to love myself. So I didn't know what that meant. I didn't have self-esteem. I didn't have self-respect, and I looked for acceptance in others in order to accept myself. Like, if this person is giving me attention, I must be worthy. Or I would morph myself into what I thought other people wanted so that they would like me. And so, you know, that leads to like a very empty kind of person. And so what filled me was food and other things. Food was solace, food was comfort, food was numbing. And culturally, food was big. My family were very, very good cooks. My father owned a restaurant. So food was, there was importance there, but it, food also meant love. You know, I know a lot of you can identify with that because I've heard it throughout the years. And so the messages were very confusing, and I grew up in a very patriarchal society. So as a woman, as a female, my body was not meant for me. It was meant to attract men who would be future husbands, potential husbands. And so the messages of eat, 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 eat. No, you must eat. You must finish everything on your plate. There are kids in Ethiopia starving. Like, that's what I heard growing up. Like, that was a big 80s kind of awareness that my mother seemed to latch on to.
15 minutes, Jennifer.
Thank you, PJ. So, but then it would be like, Jennifer, getting fat, you're getting fat, you're not going to meet your husband, you're not going to be attractive. Like, the weight of that is kind of heavy for an 11-year-old to take, you know, to be groomed to be this like traditional wife at such an early age. It's kind of fucked up. So I'm just going to take a minute. So, I had to do a lot of unlearning, which I'm still doing. I'm unlearning that my body is not an ornament. I heard this in the other in another room. My body is not an ornament, it's an instrument. So my body is not for others, it is for me. And I had to do a lot of unlearning about what food does for me and what it no longer, how it no longer serves me. And I want to focus on the joys of this program and the joys of my life. And so when I came into the rooms, I was so broken because for however many years, how am I? So for 40 years, I was doing it my own way. And because this disease is progressive, I was going nowhere but down. And it became increasingly harder and harder to get out of the hole that I was digging for myself, even though I thought I was climbing. You know, that's the illusion of the disease. It's a thief and a liar, and it made me think that I was doing everything right. And that when the diets were failing or the relationship broke up or I got fired from a job, like that's because something was wrong with me. And not something was wrong with maybe what I was putting importance on. And so I'm a binger. Compulsive overeater. I would eat past the pain in my stomach. And then I would restrict. And then I would wonder why I'm binging again because the restricting isn't working. My sponsor says restriction is the foreplay to a binge. Like it's a seesaw for me, you know? And in 2011, I entered a rehab facility for food addiction. And they gave me a plan of eating. And they told me you cannot have this, 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 this. You have to weigh, you have to measure your food. And I was so desperate because I knew I was out of answers. That I said, okay, no pasta, okay, no, okay. And I got physical recovery very quickly. And I kind of don't remember if it was hard, but I did it. And all of this weight fell off. But then, like, wait a minute, you got to start working the program, you know? And so the rehab facility said, you must go to OA. You must. That's where the solution is. And so in February of 2012, I came into the rooms. I got a sponsor. I did a lot of service. I
Jennifer.
thank you. I did a lot of outreach. I had my tribe. I had the women in the group that I felt comfortable with, that we were growing together in this program. I was working the steps. I did a food history. Oh my God, was that so revealing? Because I always had food memories here and there and what that meant. And binging with my mom was like bonding and, stealing bazooka bubble gum from the candy store. Like all of these things like were separate memories. And then when I did the food history, I was like, oh, wait a minute. There's a connector here. And I involved myself in food so that I didn't have to live life because I didn't know how to live life. I was never given the rule book. And, the rule book is the steps to me. And I started working the steps. Fourth step was incredibly difficult. Because all of a sudden I was like, wait, my part in it. Oh, yeah, I'm not always right. Oh my gosh, I do have defects. Like, and I still have that defects list. Like, I still refer to it because when I do my fourth step, I look and I'm like, oh, complaining? Yeah, that's my part in it. Self-righteous. Trying to be the director, taking it personally. Like all of those have little stars by them because those are defects that keep coming up. And for me, this program in the last couple of years, I've learned, let me just backtrack to say, 5 years into the program, I started slipping and sliding. And years 5 to 8, I was slipping and sliding in such micro doses that I didn't even realize that I was heading towards a relapse. And then I relapsed hard. And it was painful. It was so painful. And it was so shameful. And, it was the shame that kept me in my relapse. Nothing else. Not the food, not the, not the just, I don't wanna. I felt like my relapse was a whole big, I don't wanna. I don't wanna do that. I don't wanna do this. Like, and let me take a breath here. I stopped going to meetings. I didn't make outreach, certainly didn't do my step work. But the only thing I did was I kept in touch with my sponsor, whether that was a phone call a month. And my sponsor taught me something like that was really eye-opening. She told me what, like, because I kept thinking I need to go back to that plan of eating from 8 years ago. But surprise, my life is growing bigger. And so my higher power needs to get bigger. And maybe we need to relook at my plan of eating. Maybe we need to look at the actions that I take. Maybe the meetings I've been going to are not working for me anymore. And I need to look for different meetings. Like all of it was about change. And but I didn't want to do any of that because I didn't want to show up for myself. And I didn't want to go back to the rooms because I was so ashamed of all the weight I had gained. So ashamed. Like the punishment I gave myself was, when I think about it now, like so insane because I have a disease and the disease was working me. I wasn't working the program, the disease was working me. And so the first step back from relapse was I thought it needed to be like my food plan had to be perfect. I had to go to 3 meetings a week. I had to do this. I had to do that. No. The first step was actually a very micro step, a baby step. And that was, my sponsor said, go to a meeting late, leave early, and sit in the back row. And you don't have to say anything to anyone. You don't have to say hi. You can wear a hood. Like, you don't need to go, you don't need to show up perfectly. And I was like, no, that doesn't, that's not okay. But I did it finally after months and months. And then,
Over 5 minutes, Jennifer,
thank
or
you.
just
Thank you.
under, I mean.
That's okay. I also have a little kitchen timer here, but anyway, so that was my road from relapse. And what I learned is step A to B, there's a lot of little steps in between them. And that's how I'm going to get to the second rung. Not by jumping, but by taking those maybe 25 baby steps in between. And then from that relapse, yeah, I went to meetings. I didn't show my face, but I still like heard the message. And then I couldn't get my food down straight. She was like, okay, how about meals with a start and a finish? Eat a bag of potato chips and a whatever else, as long as there's a start and a finish. Okay, I guess I could do that. I really didn't think I was abstinent, but my sponsor was telling me I was abstinent. So I'm going to listen to her. I'm going to trust her because she has what I want. And with micro steps like that, that's how I got back into the rooms. And then the pandemic hit, and I got my abstinence back. Like, we were all on Zoom, we were all connecting. All of a sudden, like, the message seemed to be so easily accessible, even though the world was like falling apart outside of my window. What I will say now in my last few minutes is that my higher power is infinitely bigger than it was when I defined my HP 12, 13 years ago. My higher power is in charge of everything, down to higher power, what should I eat next? What's my next meal going to be? To what should I do next? Should I clean the bathroom or should I take a nap? Like, I bring my higher power into everything. When there are people, places, and things that annoy me, and trust me, I get annoyed a lot. I'm in menopause, I'm very irritable. Like, I practice love. I know that sounds so hokey. I practice compassion. My heart is so full of love and compassion these days. I just started going to a two-way prayer meeting every day. You know who you are. I love that meeting. It has, oh my God, expanded my loving relationship with my higher power, in a way that I never thought was possible. And so I hear a lot, progress, not perfection, progress, not perfection. Like, that is the journey for me, is the progress. Like, to see every day what I can practice so that I can make progress. Like, that is the joy for me. Like, how was I 13 years ago, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 5 years ago, last year? And I will say that, I think I have 30 seconds left. Yeah. The last year, the last 16 months have been one of the most difficult times in my life. I had a lot of loss, a lot of tragedy, and I'm just giving myself time to rest from that because that takes its toll. And even though I may not understand why things are happening. Thank you. I will just wrap up with this. I know that my higher power only loves me, has a plan for me, and I'm just gonna say that my higher power says to me, listen to what I have to say. I won't steer you wrong. I have your best interest at heart. Be gentle. It's not a race. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for letting me share here.